Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
All right, let's jump into it. You know FAQs, right? List of frequently asked questions and the answers to those questions. So are they a copywriting chore you would just as soon avoid? Well, today I'd like to offer a different way to look at them as a huge and mainly underutilized marketing opportunity. I want you to consider this possibility. An FAQ section doesn't just inform, it also persuades, but not in some cheesy, ham-fisted kind of way. See, it is possible to inform while persuading, and we'll look at how to do that today. Just as soon as I provide you with this persuasive yet informative message, copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. Okay, so we're going for a big reframe today. That is, instead of being an obligatory step you have to take, how do you turn FAQs into a powerful new part of your marketing? And to answer that question, we're going to do three sections on today's show. In section one, we'll talk about how to choose questions that maximize the possibility of increasing conversion with their answers, rather than just providing interesting or even missing information to your prospect. In section two, we'll look at how to create answers that are not only informative, but also persuasive, engaging, and memorable. And finally, in section three, we'll explore different places where you can use FAQs throughout your sales funnel, rather than at the end of your VSL or at the bottom of your sales page where you hope nobody will notice anyway. Okay, so let's start with the questions. Oh, before that, what do you want to say?
I just wanted to add, I have to say, they're there for a reason, especially if you're actually doing frequently asked questions rather than just coming up with your own. There's a lot of last thing I need to know before I'm ready to buy. And if you don't answer those for me, or if I have to wait to get on a call with you, or I have to email you for more information, there's a lost sale possibility there. But just knowing, hey, people keep asking this question and having the answer there so that you can knock that objection off on the sales page is a very powerful thing. But yes, like you mentioned, it's not the most exciting, and sometimes it feels like a chore to go through and write this aspect of your sales message.
Okay, so what you just described is the ground level of really making this work. And you're absolutely right. I mean, as copywriters, we don't have those questions because we already asked them and got them answered when we were doing our research, but prospects do. But let's broaden this a little. What questions should you include? Remember, what we're talking about today, you're not just walking through the steps here, or checking a box that says, oh, I did an FAQ. What we're trying to find out is questions that matter to your customers so that more prospects can become customers. And you can get these questions in a number of ways. First of all, the questions you get in emails or in your customer support department, if you have one. When people take time to write an email or pick up the phone and ask you something, it's usually not out of idle curiosity. Okay, there are a few people that really enjoy wasting other people's time as much as their own. But for the most part, when people volunteer questions, these questions are what sales professionals call buying signs. Simply put, these people are not tire kickers. Most of the time, they ask because they're considering buying. Some questions might be about features. How big? How long does it last? What kind of maintenance does it require? Things like that. Others might be what we think of as objections. Why does it cost so much? Why haven't I heard of you before? Suppose it breaks, things like that. And some might be for things that are obvious to you because you know your offer so well, but it's new to them and they look at it differently. What is it? How does it work? How hard is it to learn to use? Things like that. Now, it's tempting to judge some questions and say, oh, people shouldn't be asking that. Only an idiot would ask that. And it doesn't matter if you think that. If the question comes up over and over, then it's a good candidate for the FAQ marketing techniques we're going to talk about today. And it's worth taking some time to find out what the questions are. Your memory and your emails are a good starting place, but you can get even better data sometimes. Here's how. If you have chat logs or computerized support tickets, you can use that as a shortcut to find out the most frequently asked questions. For example, you can make a spreadsheet or a simple text PDF listing all the questions and feed it to an AI and ask it to rank the same or similar questions by how often they were asked. AI can figure out how to do stuff like that. Just give it clear instructions and maybe give it an example of what you want your list to look like. So that's at the most immediate direct level between you and prospects, you and customers. But another way to do this is monitoring social media. Now, this isn't as scientific or as statistically based, but you do find people expressing their true feelings, especially their negative ones. And here's the secret. You can turn nearly any statement into a question if you relax and brainstorm a few tries. For example, you sell sneakers and people say, these sneakers take longer to put on than they should. Okay, so what's a question version? Something like, how come our sneakers take a few seconds longer to put on? And then you can answer by explaining your unique Snug Fit technology and how the Snug Fit gives you better arch support, keeps your foot muscles limber, and any other benefits you'd like to talk about. It's a good mental exercise to see criticisms as questions, as cries for help, with the help they're crying for being the right information. And besides customer service, email, and social media, don't leave out the real world. Especially if you're in a business that has salespeople out in the field, or you have a store with, you know, cashiers and salespeople on the floor, or if you talk to a lot of customers on the phone or in Zoom itself, you may just enjoy the conversations or at least put up with them, but you may never have seen them as opportunities for mining valuable data. But with this FAQ strategy, they definitely are. One thing to think about is getting beyond just the questions about your product and how to use it. For example, if there are misconceptions in your industry or just things that come up in conversation that don't directly relate to your product, but those questions could showcase your expertise or overall knowledge when you answer them, consider those as well. Now, when I think of FAQs, I think of what Nathan was talking about right at the beginning, or I mean, I did before I started reframing all of this, you know, the old school list of questions and answers. But you can bring your answers to life with infographics and videos, even with quizzes and other interactive devices. Remember, the goal here is not merely answering questions. The goal is engagement. The more your prospects have the opportunity to connect with you, the better off you are. And this can help increase your conversions. In a subtle way, you're telling customers you care by taking time to post the questions you know they have and answer them. And that always pays off.
I just want to add one thing. Some of my clients do a lot of sales on Amazon. And on Amazon, they have a specific section of each sales page where you, as a potential customer, can ask a question and then get a response back from the buyer. That's also, if you're selling on Amazon or a similar website like that, that's also a very great resource for coming up with, well, what are the questions that people are asking? You mentioned chats on your website or chats on maybe your Facebook business account. But if you're selling on an e-com site like Amazon, Walmart, something like that, that's also a treasure trove of potential frequently asked questions.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't think of that, but you're right. I mean, those questions, boy, those people, you know, they're close to the point of sale. People usually, when they get that deep into it on Amazon, you know, they're considering pushing the buy button. So yeah, great, great point. Now, okay, we talked about the questions. Let's talk about the answers. Section two, answers. So most of the time, people are used to answering questions by providing the information requested in a pretty factual, concise way. And it would seem that's the best way to go with FAQs. People have questions. You should give them answers. Yes. But if you can answer the question in a way that's still straightforward, but also advances the sale a little bit or a lot, your prospect will accomplish their goal, get the information they want, and you'll accomplish your goal, which is ideally getting them closer to buying. One way to do this is by using the problem, agitate, solution, story framework. You don't have to hit them over the head with your answer either. Just a little nudge might be all you need. For example, if you're selling a time management app, one question you might hear is, does your app provide reminders for appointments and deadlines? You could simply answer the question, yes, we will send you a notification with a variety of interesting tones to make sure you are on time. Or you could try the problem agitate solution formula with your answer. Question, does your app provide reminders for appointments and deadlines? Answer, we realize you can manage your time well and still forget an appointment or a crucial deadline. This happens to the best organized people because there are a lot of distractions these days. And if you have kids or demanding clients, interruptions can happen at any time. So you end up being responsible and getting distracted. And very often, nothing feels worse than missing an appointment or a deadline, especially if you pride yourself on being responsible and respectful. That's why we include a variety of escalating notification options, including our break glass extreme notification option, to make sure that you don't miss an appointment or a deadline. Okay, that might seem a little extreme to you when a yes answer would have taken care of the question. But by talking about the problem, distractions, and agitating it with examples, clients, kids, and then solving it, escalating notifications, culminating in the break glass extreme. I'm imagining this thing would be like, you know, like a glass bowl shattering on a concrete floor. Extreme notification, you really provide a much more satisfying response to the person with the problem. But let's say you don't want your answer to go on for a few hundred words. Maybe it's too much real estate on that particular page or that particular screen on a phone, or you don't want it to last a couple minutes like the last one does. Another approach you could take is to give a short answer like, yes, we have escalating notifications culminating in the break glass extreme notification, and then tack on another sentence which has a link embedded in it. Find out why. So if the prospect wants more, they can walk, you know, right into your trap and, you know, get into the problem, agitate, solve story. So also the prospect can zoom right past the questions that aren't important and zoom in on the ones that are clicking, that are, by clicking on the link and having another page pop up with a more detailed answer.
One of the awesome things about doing sales pages online nowadays is having those features. I love to use the accordion feature where I have all of my questions laid out and you can see all of the questions at a glance, and then you can click on one and it expands, and it doesn't expand every single one. It just expands the one that you are most interested in.
Right. Like with the little down arrow that, mm-hmm. that you press in the corner and then, yeah. And then you just press it again and it accordions back up. Excellent. Yeah. That's very cool. I like that too. Okay. So there's a flip side of this, because telling a problem, agitate, solve story is putting a low key call to action in your answer. And if you do that with every answer, it might come across as too aggressive, but you could end some of them with an easy to take invitation like this. Wonder what this looks like when someone uses it? Take a look at our video and you can see our product in action link. And then at the end of that video, you can have a call to action, but that initial invitation is not too threatening. Or you could ask for a commitment without asking for money. Like, it's a semi-aggressive, but want to find out for yourself? That's easy. Just click here to start your free trial now. People aren't used to putting things like that in their FAQs. But when you realize the reason your prospects read them is to get more information, just think of these as soft calls to action as a way of providing more information. After all, you can't really get a better information about an app or a membership site than trying it out for yourself.
Yeah, I love this, especially for SaaS, software as a service type sales promos. Having a try it for yourself for 14 days for free and having that in right after you answered my one main question that was keeping me on the fence. You answered it and then you give me a soft call to action. That's the perfect place to put something like that.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the third question and get into our third section is, where do you put the FAQ? Where do you put it for maximum traction? Now, let's talk traditional. Very often people put them at the end of a sales letter or a VSL or on a separate page in their website. And that's not the best way to go all the time. You don't want to make your prospects have to do anything to see your FAQs. If you make them interesting enough, you could put them on your sales page right above the buy button. Okay. They could be like, you know, what you're going to, these are sort of the final questions you need before you buy. FAQs could become your best objection busters and they would automatically increase conversions. It's kind of like having a closer stationed right on the page. Now, for an e-commerce store, this might mean addressing questions about shipping or returns right there in the product page, rather than, you know, in fine print at the bottom or somewhere else. For content creators, it might be answering questions about access or format of your digital products. You might say, well, those are not objections, and you'd be right, but they are questions that if they're not answered would keep people from buying. Okay, another innovative way you could use FAQs is in an email sequence. You could develop 5 emails, each one addressing one crucial question the prospects have. Start with the basics and move on to the more complicated or nuanced questions with each email. This showcases your expertise and also that you care what's on your prospect's mind. As an example, a financial newsletter could start with something basic like, what is the newsletter about and who's it for? And it could end with something along the lines of, how has what you recommended performed in different market conditions? After all, these are exactly the kind of questions people have before they subscribe. By spoon-feeding the questions and answers one email at a time, you can incrementally increase your conversion rate once you have an interested prospect. And think about this. You could use FAQs as content for retargeting campaigns. Try using short ads that pose one high-interest question, one high-interest frequently asked question at a time and hint at the answer. You can, of course, retarget visitors that didn't convert, and then you will test the ads to see which one works best. So what's great about this idea is instead of pounding your prospects with benefits and promises in a retargeting campaign or some magical, expensively developed branding slogan that means absolutely nothing to anyone except the genius who wrote it, you're answering questions that might convert them into buyers. There are really endless ways to use FAQs in your funnel, and these are just a few. Depending on where you put them, you get different benefits. Here's what I mean. When you put FAQs on your landing page, you're reducing friction. When you create an FAQ email sequence, you're nurturing leads. When you use FAQs in retargeting, you're re-engaging lost leads. It's all interconnected. Your FAQs don't have to just be flat content. They can become proactive, if you choose to use them that way. One piece of advice before we wrap up this section. Whatever you do, start small. Try one strategy and see how it goes. Test it, measure it. If it works, expand it. And eventually, you'll come up with a set of proven winners. And before you know it, you'll have FAQs working hard for you at every step of your funnel. I hope at this point you realize FAQs can be a valuable marketing asset if you decide to use them that way.
I loved the example that you gave of, well, what's shipping going to cost? How do I determine how the shipping works? And including that in the shipping section rather than in the FAQ section. One thing that I've had this same thing, and I didn't even realize that this is what I was doing, but for supplements and for soil supplement for one of my cannabis clients, if I get this pack in the variation selector part, do I want the 30 pack or do I want the 60 pack? How long does the 30 pack last? How long does the 60 pack last? Do I want the 2 ounce? How many planting containers will the 2 ounce feed versus how many planting containers will the 16 ounce feed? Having that information right there underneath, if you buy the 2 ounce, it'll feed up to 16 servings in a 5 gallon bucket. If you buy the 8 ounce, it'll feed this much in up to a 5 gallon bucket. That's a frequently asked question, but it's not in the frequently asked questions page. It's in the part of the page where the client would, or the potential customer would naturally be asking themselves that. So finding out at what point in my sales message would this question come up, and then just having it addressed there, not as a frequently asked question, but as a frequently asked question. I've done that unknowingly, not realizing that's what I was doing. But when you said that shipping point, I was like, oh yeah, I've done that before. And it's great. It makes sense because it asks the question when they're asking them, or it answers the question when they're asking themselves that question.
Yeah, I mean, that's like an advanced strategy that we're talking about here. And one thing I was thinking about as I was putting this together is so many conversations are really just questions and answers, not interrogations, but people will say something and the other person will respond to it almost like it was a question, sometimes like, oh, that reminds me of. I notice on TV a lot of times these days, on talk shows, they don't even ask a question. They'll just make a statement and wait for the other person to respond. But it's an implicit question. And so if we think of copy as a sales conversation where you're taking on the other person's part of the conversation, at least in your mind, and you're responding to it, then what you're talking about makes perfect sense. And you know, a lot of times we just think, oh, well, I've got to hit AIDA. There's that AIDA formula, attention, interest, desire, action. You don't realize your prospect isn't saying, okay, so I guess I've just gotten through the A part. Where's the D part? No, that's not how they're reading it at all. They're reading it like someone's talking to them and giving them information, and questions come up and they want answers. So yeah, I mean, I like what you discovered sort of organically.
One last thing that I do want to add, because I think it's relevant. The frequently asked questions part of my sales page, especially if I'm on retainer for a client and I'm working with them long term, mm-hmm. It's one of the parts of the sales page of the message that I go back to constantly. It's the most evolving part of the sales page because new questions come in and we'll start getting the same question and I'll be like, that's not even addressed. And so, yeah, we want to split test headlines and we want to try different leads. And there's different times where it makes sense to change a part, maybe change the hero section, maybe change the call to action. But I find myself constantly going back to the FAQ section and adding more there because there's no way that you're going to get it 100% right on the first pass. And 6 months in, you might find, dude, we keep getting this question. And I think the reason we keep getting this question is because we never addressed it in the original FAQ section.
Yeah. So, I mean, that loops back to something I was saying in the beginning. This is actually a way to increase conversions incrementally. Obviously, your headline, your offer, a number of other things, the quality of your traffic, you know, the quality of your copy are probably bigger. But since, you know, you're always looking to go from 3.1 to 4.1 or 4.1 to 4.2, this is one of those ways to do it.
Yeah. Okay, man, a wealth of information for the listeners that might have forgot some of the stuff that we talked today about. You want to provide a recap real quick?
How could you forget? It's unforgettable. Okay, let's recap what we covered today using FAQs for more deliberately as a conversion tool. First, we talked about choosing the right questions. And remember, when questions come into you, they can be buying signs disguised as requests for information or even criticism. Secondly, we talked about answers and how to go beyond just giving information by weaving persuasion, stories, demonstration into substantive answers. And finally, we discussed some different ways of working FAQs seamlessly into your sales funnel. Short version, you can use FAQs just about anywhere. Just think strategically. What do you need to accomplish at this point? And how could a set of FAQs or even a single question and answer help you with that? Now, here's your challenge. Start with one strategy from today's episode. See how it works and take it from there and gradually build your whole basket of FAQ strategies.
Dang it. I know we're not supposed to have more than one call to action, one challenge per episode, but I'm going to challenge people to go over to copywriterspodcast.com. If you enjoyed this episode, we've got a bunch more over there. While you're there, hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app and make sure that you don't miss an episode in the future. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.